Welcome to Porch Stories on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Sarah Hegland. Every month we invite residents of Central Iowa for a potluck and neighborly conversational storytelling. As we sit around the table and tell each other stories of our lives, we pass around the recording microphone so we can share them with you on the radio. So sit back, enjoy something to drink, and imagine you have joined us. The theme of this evening is fish stories. Listen to the laughter and the joy of conversational storytelling. We are your neighbors.
My name is Carolyn Myers. I've never really gone fishing before. I used to work for a substance abuse agency in Clinton County, in Jackson County, and I was working as a substance abuse prevention specialist. So basically that just meant that I drove between the two counties and talked to kids in various ages and worked on different grants where we would give programs about why not to use alcohol and drugs, etc. And one of the programs I worked with, the grant was to work with children whose parents had been incarcerated. At some point, they may be currently incarcerated or they had been incarcerated for some kind of drug use. And most of these kids came from Illinois. Most of them came from the Chicago area, and most of them were African American. And the main reason they came from the Chicago area is because of housing vouchers they would be able to get. They would move to the Clinton area, the families would, because you know it was safer than inner city Chicago, and they could live cheaper, etc. So this program basically was an after school program where you would do activities with the kids, help them with homework, and we went to this park called the Erickson Center in Clinton, which is it's in the city of Clinton, and it's basically the hub for parks and recreation. And there's a pond there, and there's racquetball courts inside, and there's tennis courts and basketball courts and lots of playgrounds. So it's kind of a place where lots of people come. And the pond, they put fish in the pond every year. And these kids would go, and they were fishing, and they were just using a stick and some string. And then they would find worms or insects along the shore, and they were just getting fish left and right. And I had never been fishing before, and of course they look at me and they're like, how could you have never been fishing before when you're from Iowa? We're from Chicago, like how, you know, but my dad taught me how to fish. And so they're trying to teach me how to fish, and I could not pick it up at all for the life of me. And the one boy, he's like putting worms and stuff on the hook, and I'm really grossed out, and he's like, come on, it's not that bad. And he's probably 10, 11 years old, and he's just getting all kinds of fish, and he's throwing them right back because they weren't for food. He's just having a good time, and it was just nice to connect with those kids as far as they had something they could really teach me beyond just how it was hard for them because of prejudice, and it was hard for them because they were judged from coming from a big town, like, oh, those people from Chicago. But really, they were just families trying to make a better life.
Yeah, what did you conclude from that episode?
That fishing is hard. when you don't have the right equipment and you don't have a lot of experience, and those kids were like, well, you can just feel it. I'm like, feel what? I mean, they just knew what they were doing, and I think they just had a lot more experience with it, and I think it's just something you have to practice.
I'll tell you why I can't find you. Every time I go out to your place, you gone fishing.
How you know?
Well, there's a sign upon your door.
Uh-huh.
Gone fishing.
I'm real gone, man.
You ain't working anymore.
Could be.
There's your hole out in the sun where you left a row half done. You claim that hoeing ain't no fun.
But I can prove it.
You ain't got no ambition. Gone fishing by a shady, weighty pool.
Shangri-La. Really la.
I'm wishing I could be that kind of fool.
Shall I twist your arm?
I'd say no more work for mine.
Welcome to the club.
On my door I'd hang a sign. Gone fishing instead of just a wishing.
Papa Bing, yeah, I've stopped by your place a time or two lately, and you aren't home either.
Well, I'm a busy man, Louie. I got a lot of big deals cooking. I was probably tied up at the studio.
You aren't tied up, you dog. You're just playing old gone fishing. There's a sign up on your door.
Pops, don't blab it around, will you?
Gone fishing.
Keep it shady. I got me a big one staked out.
You ain't working anymore.
I don't have to work. I got me a piece of Gary.
Cows need milking in the barn.
I have the twins on that detail. Each take a side.
But you just don't give a darn.
Give them 4 bits of cow and hand lotion.
You just never seem to learn.
Man, you taught me.
You ain't got no ambition.
You're convincing.
Gone fishing. Got your house.
So my name's Corey. I'm from Idaho originally, and I have two stories I can think of. The first one is a young boy. Spending time with my grandpa was always special. We didn't spend time with him a whole lot. And so we used to fish out on a big reservoir called American Falls Reservoir. And my grandpa, being the trickster that he was, he would wait until one of us caught a fish, one of the young boys in my family, and he would string it up on the line without us knowing. And he would say, "Oh, you guys know the rules. Grandpa catches the first fish." And, you know, having it strung up, he'd toss it over the side of the boat. So that way they stay fresh in the water.
Oh, so he was putting the hook in without you seeing and then throwing it into the water.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sure he had a great time with it.
Really,
of course, the young boys, we were all distraught. There goes our fish. We worked hard to get that fish in. We had no idea. You know, and then eventually at the end of the day, he'd pull up this big string of fish and, "Grandpa, you know, what are you doing with those?" And you know, so that, I think that was him messing with us, but it definitely taught us the lesson of, I guess, don't care about your possessions. You know, it's only a fish, you'll get another one. Don't worry about it too much. And just continue on. You know, it's more important to spend the time there with your family. The next one, I was up fishing some mountain stream with my grandpa, my other grandpa, and my uncle, and I was fishing off a bridge, and I wasn't too experienced of an angler, so I'm trying to cast out into this little stream, and, you know, I'm getting a little overzealous and completely miss a stream. My hook ends up off in the sagebrush somewhere, so I leave my pull up on the bridge, and I go down, and I, you know, cross a barbed wire fence, and finally go find my hook, and I'm like, oh, man. You know, untangle it from all the sagebrush and throw it back out in the water, and, you know, backtrack all my steps, get back up on the bridge and reel it in so I can, you know, restring my line and this and that. And as I'm reeling in, there comes a fish with it. So caught the rainbow trout right on the hook. Not even trying at that point. So that made me pretty happy.
How old were you?
Oh, I don't know, probably 12 or so. It was good times.
Gone fishing. Fleas are biting at his hide.
Get away from me, boy, you bother me. Folks won't find us now because Mr. Satch and Mr. Cross, we gone fishing instead of just a wishing.
Bapa, baby, bapa, bapa, mole.
Oh, yeah.
My story took place last summer. I had been working in office jobs for about 10 years, and I decided I wanted to make this switch and do more working outside and working with my hands and learning skills outside the university and things. So I was staying on this farm in South Dakota. It was this old organic farmer. He was like 65 or so, and he was just great. I was learning all sorts of farming from him. He taught me how to shoot guns. I shot guns for the first time. He took me hunting. He took me to the rodeo, and he took me fishing for the first time, and we were going to catch that night's dinner. And so we went out, and we caught, there was this great lake about 3 miles down from the farm. We took his little electric car to get there, and he was telling me all these stories about when he was younger and he was fishing and how he'd done this all his life and things, and what he'd learned about fishing over the years. And we caught a bunch of fish, actually. I mean, it was kind of a great first fishing experience because I caught about 12 fish in like 10 minutes. It was just like fish after fish after fish. And he taught me how to clean them and everything. But he told me the story of, well, he had married late in life. He had been a bachelor farmer until he was about 55. And he was actually in an issue of New York Times Magazine. There was like a big article on bachelor farmers throughout the United States. And there's this picture of him without his shirt off on the bed, like playing the guitar. And he got all these letters from all over America. Women who wanted to date him and live in rural South Dakota.
Was he good looking?
Yeah, he was a good looking guy. Yeah. Bill. And he ended up, he was really active in horses, and he ended up falling for this other woman from Nevada who is also active in horses. And she was a Jehovah's Witness. And he was very not religious, like adamantly sort of atheist, which was kind of to his detriment because it was such a small town. He lived near this town of like 1,200 people. And there were about 9 churches in that one town. And I could really tell that it was like, that's how you do your social networking. And I learned that lesson myself because I had gone to like 3 churches because I was fascinated by them. And then I was looking for a ride to get over to Western South Dakota. And there's this call-in radio show at 11 a.m. where it's like a classified ads on the radio. People say, I've got an old refrigerator to sell. And Bill called in and said, we have a young lady staying here who would like a ride out to, you know, Western, whatever, South Dakota. And this lady called immediately and she said, oh, my daughter's going out there. And I said, oh, that's really nice. Do you want to know anything about me? And she said, oh, no, Mrs. Henderson met you at church the other day. So this is just fascinating to see what a central role church played in the life of the community. And Bill was both not a church-going fellow and the only organic farmer in the area. So we had some tension with his neighbors. But I asked him while we were fishing, I said, did you ever go with your wife to Kingdom Halls? Because I went with her twice. You had to drive like 25 miles to get to the nearest Kingdom Hall. And I'd never been to a Kingdom Hall before, and I was just fascinated by them. I thought they were really lovely, interesting people. So I asked Bill, did you ever go to any of these? And he kind of grunted, and he said, no. She tried to get me to go a few times, but then she kind of gave up on me. And I said, oh, what did you think of them? And he said, you know, I just found that whenever I was in church, I was thinking about fishing. And whenever I was fishing, I was thinking about God.
More, 'cause I got them deep river blues. Let that old river rise and fall. Let the big waves make a wall. 'Cause I got them deep river blues. My old gal, she's sweet little pal. She walks just like a waterfowl. When I get them deep river blues, bless her little heart. Ain't no one to cry for me. Fish go out on a spree when I get them deep river blues.
Hi, my name is David, and back in 1988, my mom and I decided to do an outward bound trip in, well, actually, it was out in northwest Ontario. So we booked a flight out to, we lived in Michigan, and we booked a flight out to Minneapolis and joined, there were 13 people. We left Minneapolis and we drove north, and we drove way north. You'd think the International Falls would be far enough north, but this trip was farther, so we were past Sioux Lookout and farther to get out in the wilderness. Well, and part of the thing is we thought, my mom and I, we enjoy like being on rivers. So we thought, this would be great. We'll be on a river for 10 days and easy paddling. Well, it didn't turn out that way. Up in that part of Canada, it's all little lakes. So this was like serious paddling every day, you know, in wind and having to portage across lakes. And it was quite the trip. And I was also a vegetarian. We only had what you could carry. So we had some coolers and some pretty nasty-looking vegetables by midweek. So we went out. We had some poles and to fish. And we were out just in a canoe, three people, my mom and I and another guy. And we were casting, and I had cast out, and I got a good bite, and I started reeling it in. And, you know, we didn't have hardly any gear with us, just some poles, no net. And while our boat gets, our canoe starts getting pulled around, because of what I've got on the hook there is a really large pike, we find out. So we struggle with this fish for, I don't know, at least an hour, pulling us across the lake.
Oh my,
and get it up to the boat, you know, and it's hard because we don't have a net, this big fish. So we pull it in, and it's like a 4 foot long pike.
Oh.
And so it's taking up a good part of the boat. And so, and then all we've got is like paddles, and we're trying to kill it, you know, with a paddle. We got it done, but we brought it back to shore, and you know, and everyone's pretty hungry because we hadn't really eaten that well. But this fish was huge, and so ended up making soup for 13 people and fillets for dinner. So it was quite the catch.
Yes, I got them deep river blues. Gonna run down to Muscle Shoals. Time's getting better down there. I'm told, boys, I got them deep river blues.
Christy, I don't really like fishing. When I was a kid, my grandma showed me that when you catch a fish, it's still alive, so you get a big rock and hit it really hard about where its brain is. And I always felt really awful doing it, and it never worked for me. It just keep wiggling, and you know, I'm just hurting this fish that I'm supposed to be killing instantly. So I'd go sit on rocks or jump on the bank behind someone fishing so that they wouldn't catch fish, and you know, because I felt sorry for the fish. But about I think the last time I went fishing, we went to some stocked pond, because in Idaho you mostly catch trout, and the pond was stocked with bullheads. That's what the people were with called them. I thought there's catfish. And they were really ugly, and we had a whole bunch, and they just stuck them in a plastic bag, and it just had some blood and a little bit of water. But when we got home, one of the fish was still alive, and you know, it was such a spunky fish, so we put it in a bucket, and it stayed alive, and then we put it in a big plastic container full of water and watched this fish and thought, wow, what a will to live. We're, you know, my family and I were really impressed. So eventually, you know, we wanted more for the fish, so we made our mother take us to the river and we set it loose. And now I realize it wasn't native and we probably shouldn't have done that. But you know. So every time we'd go back to the river, I'd sort of look at the water and think, I hope that fish is doing well. It, you know, it went really far and survived and nothing. And so now I don't really fish because I don't want to kill things I don't want to really eat anyway. So I just like to go and sit on warm rocks. That's about it.
I went fishing in Ireland this last summer. Because I'd never caught an Irish fish. And I still haven't. rained all weekend, and it turned into a kind of a drinking contest. Just before I went to bed, I was winning. Thinking lately about the people I meet, the car wash on the corner and the holy in the street, the way my ankles hurt with shoes on my feet. I'm wondering if I'm gonna see tomorrow. Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us and we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue and we'll whistle and go fishing in heaven. But I never dug a trench. Used to bust my knuckles on a monkey wrench. I go to town and drink, give the girls a pinch. I don't think they ever even noticed me. Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us, we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue. And we'll whistle and go fishing in heaven. Fish and whistle, a whistle and fish. Eat everything that they put on your dish. When we get through, we'll make a big wish that we never have to do this again. Again, again. Oh, my very first job, I said thank you and please. They made me scrub a parking lot down on my knees. Then I got fired for being scared of bees. They only give me 50 cents an hour.
You can't talk when you're fishing because if the voice, particularly men's voices, it hits the water and the fish somehow can feel a vibration and they know there's someone there, so they swim away from the vibrations. Whether they know it's you or not, they swim away. So you got to be real quiet. And you sit there all day and you don't say anything. Hand signals maybe like that.
Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us and we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue and we'll whistle and go fishing in heaven. Whistle and fish, eat everything that they put on your dish. When we get through, we'll make a big wish that we never have to do this again, again, again. Oh, Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us and we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue. And we'll whistle and go fishing in heaven.
There was a fish that was swimming upstream, and it hit his head against a concrete wall. And what did it say? Damn.
Okay, that's one of those little fillers.
That's a good filler. So,
and that's the whole story right there.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us around the table for Porch Stories, where we have just heard stories from Carolyn Myers, Corey Snooks, me, Sarah Hegland, David Den Haan, Christy Anderson Snooks, and Ron Gardner. The music you heard today was Gone Fishin' by Louis Armstrong and Bing Crosby, Deep River Blues by Doc Watson, and Fish and Whistle by John Prine. Our theme music is Home Sweet Home by the Bray Brothers. Porch Stories is a production of KHOI Radio and is broadcast Wednesday evenings at 9:30. These stories come from regular events held every month, and everyone is welcome to attend and share your stories. Porch Stories is also made possible by a generous grant from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. KHOI is building community through communication. If you would like to tell a story, email khoiradio@gmail.com or phone 515-292-2878. See you next week.